Amen. Amen. Loudy, lot of rowdy little kids. Like I said, I took a chance on them getting up, shaking hands. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 3. I can find my message now. How many of y'all kind of losing your memory? Kinda. Well, I don't remember what I did with what. And the older you get, the worse it gets. And I got to constantly go over things just to make sure I got it right. You got to do that. But in Genesis 3, and going to the Garden of Eden, said, "Do you believe this?" "Yes, I do." "Amen. I believe it." Get my glasses on so I don't forget that. God tells Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree. And that's what caused all this mess we're in now. And like I said last week, I said, a woman always says, where would you men be without us women? And a preacher said, we'd be back in the Garden of Eden fellowship with God. So, but it's the man's fault too. Man's fault, choice. That's right, he made a choice because he loved his bride. But I want to preach on being extremists, being extremists. I believe, we hear in the news about these extremists. We had a guy yesterday or Friday with extremely hatred for the Jews and went into a synagogue and killed 11 people, shot a bunch of other people up. You got guys going crazy at work, women going crazy at work, shooting people up, and then you got guys sending pipe bombs, stuff like that, to different Democratic Party members and all that stuff. You got people being extreme, going extreme, and doing the extreme. And now I want to say this, God is an extremist. God is an extremist. Now, I don't believe, you can be extremist but be dead wrong. Now, God's an extremist, but he's dead right. And I want to ask you, are you an extremist? And they always talk about the, you know, the extremist fundamentalists and all that stuff, the Muslim. And but I believe Christians ought to be extreme. Not in the sense of going out, blowing up places, killing people, shooting people up because they disagree with you. I believe you ought to be an extremist when it comes to doing what's right and honoring God. I believe you ought to be extremists. Now, here God in Genesis chapter 3, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field," verse 1, "the Lord God had made." Notice the serpent, God made him. "And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said," the devil always comes to you questioning God, always. You find it in Matthew chapter 4 when the devil came to Jesus Christ. He tempts Jesus Christ with the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That's what he does with Eve. But he always questions God, always. And he'll question God in your own mind. He'll question you. He'll put thoughts in your mind. Is there a God? I remember when my brother got killed in 1972, I remember saying, my father always said, yeah, we believe in God. We're going to heaven because we believe in God. And the Bible says this, you know, the devils believe and tremble. That they're not going to heaven. Just, you can believe in God and not be saved. You can believe in, you can believe God, there's a God, but that's not good enough. God's an extremist. You say, what kind of extreme? Well, we'll look at this. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And he says, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." God never said that. Go back to chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2. God tells Adam, he gives Adam a direct order. And Genesis chapter 2 in verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Man was in paradise. Never had to work in the sense of sweat and labor and all that stuff. Never had to go through all that stuff. Never had to worry about paying no bills. Never had to do that. I mean, none of that. And he was in a perfect environment. Temperature was perfect year round. I mean, just perfect. Everything was perfect. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And said, did man die? Yes, he did. He died spiritually. Because the Bible says if a man's not saved, he's dead already. According to Ephesians chapter 2, it says, you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So if you're sitting here today, you're not saved, the Bible says you're dead, you're a dead man. And God was such an extremist, he said, you can eat anywhere, anything, anywhere here except for that one tree. And God said, if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. That's how much of an extremist God is. And when God says something, you can believe it. Now God, you say, can God change his mind? God has changed his mind in places. When it comes to individuals, God's changed his mind. God is an extremist. When God lays something down and something's set, there's a law that God set. And there's a law. You say, what law is that? It's called the law of sowing and reaping. There's a law. God said, if you sow it, you're going to reap it. That's a law. God cannot change that. Now, he can postpone some things. He did that for David. He postponed some things for David. He said, and he postponed some things for other kings in the Bible. He postponed some judgments that was going to come, like Hezekiah. He postponed some things. And God can do that. But God is an extremist when it comes down to when he says something, he means what he says. And most people don't take God at his word. And God's given his word, and you can take God at his word. When he says something, he means what he says. So is God an extremist? Yes, he is. God is very extreme when it comes to what he says and what he believes and what he's written down. When it's written down, brother, you can believe that when it's written down, it's set. And God says something, it's set. Now, take your Bibles, look in, where did I do with it? I just had it. My mind's running 1,000 miles an hour trying to figure out this, how to approach this thing. And talking about God being an extremist. Now go to your Bible in Acts chapter 26. Go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Newspapers, man, they've always talked about this extreme this and extreme that. And really, the world is extremist about what they believe. They're extremists of what they believe. They'll push their extreme. Like somebody was just praying, said, man, the world, this country's in a mess. I mean, you got all these political parties going at their extreme. They'll lie, cheat, steal any way they possibly can to get their party lines across of what they believe, what they want to do. And the system is set up, and they're extreme about it. And they're push it day in and day out. And as a Christian, Christians are not extreme when it comes to about living for God and about reading their Bible, about witnessing. And Jesus said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Christians are not extreme about that. They take God very lightly. When the world system, they're extreme about what they believe, and they'll go push their agenda. And then you got God saying, this is what way it is. And you say, well, God sent a man, kick a man out of the Garden of Eden for eating a piece of fruit? Yes, he did. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. It makes more sense than evolution. It takes a lot of faith to believe evolution, that something came from nothing and maybe a little amoeba and another amoeba and all that stuff and floated around for billions of years. And finally, a male amoeba found a female amoeba, and they got together and they had more baby amoebas. And then the baby amoebas grew up to be monkeys, and they were swinging from the trees. And then they got a PhD. Now they're teaching in the college out there in Delaware Tech. And that takes a lot of faith to believe in that stuff. But to believe that God said something and God kept his word, what he said. Now, did Adam and Eve directly die, drop dead right then? No. He said, you should surely die. Why? Because they were going to live forever. Yep. You know what God did? He made it where you and I could live forever. Yep. And, I mean, folks, he made it. He said, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You have everlasting life. You can. God's extremist. And Paul, when Paul got saved, Paul was on the road to Damascus. He was an extremist. Paul in Romans, Acts chapter 9, Paul was going after Christians to kill them for what he believed. Muslims are killing Christians and they kill Jews. I was in Israel. I seen the divide. I seen the division. I seen the hatred. And the hatred comes from being extremists. Now, a person that's saved, and I say you ought to be an extremist for God, a person that's saved, you don't hate people. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You don't hate people because God cared enough to die for them. And God, if we're supposed to be about our Father's business, then we should have enough of our Father's likeness in us through the Word of God to love people and want to see them saved. God's creation, we ought to want to see them come to know Jesus Christ. And that's extreme, because most churches today you go into, Christian churches, supposedly Christian churches, they don't preach about soul winning. They don't talk about winning people to Jesus Christ. They don't talk about those things. Now, there's churches across this country, around the world, that still believe it. But there's a lot of religions that don't believe that. They go, you know, you got a few Methodist churches still preaching the Bible. You got the Presbyterians, a few of them preaching the Bible. You got Episcopalians, they don't even preach the Bible. You got a lot of just preaching their doctrine of their church and what they believe. And they're not preaching about salvation. You ask them, are you going to heaven? They said, well, I can't be that sure. I can't be that dogmatic. But the Bible says you can be that dogmatic, because the Bible says, for we know that all if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things become new. And it says, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. So that's in 1 John. But when a man gets saved, you can be dogmatic knowing I'm going to heaven. Because the Bible, God says, for we know that, for these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. God wants you to know what you believe, why you believe it. He wants you to be extreme about it and knowing what you believe. Why? Because the world's extreme. And the world, I'm going to tell you something, I believe we ought to be extremists about our Bible. You got the devil's extremist about this Bible. You say, what is he extreme about? To get rid of it. The devil's so extreme about getting rid of this Bible, he wants this Bible out of it. He don't want people to have it. He don't want you to read it. He don't want it to be quoted. You can quote some other Bible, you can quote some new Bible, and they ain't got no power behind it. This Bible right here, this old King James Bible, has got power behind it. When you quote this Bible, the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This Bible's got power behind it. When you quote it and you preach it and you live it, there's power behind that thing. Why? God is extremist about keeping his word. When God said, I will preserve my word, I'll keep my word. He said, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. God's extremist about that. And the devil's extremist about getting rid of it. That's why there's 200 and some other new Bibles on the market. And they're taking God as a male. They're taking God, making him neutral, and putting him as a neutral God in there. And nothing about hell, nothing about heaven, nothing about that. And you know what? You say, who's behind that? The devil's behind that. Trying to be, he's an extremist about this Bible. He don't want to believe this. He don't want people to believe the Bible. God's extremist when it comes to inspiration of the Bible. The Bible says all scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished on all good works. God's extremist, and God says, if you'll take this book and believe it, and believe that it's the word of God and it's inspired, I tell you, I'll give you power in your life. And the devil's extreme about getting rid of it. God's an extremist about his authority of the Word of God. What we believe and what we stand on, we take the authority from the Word of God. The church is run by the authority of the Word of God. And what we preach is by the authority of the Word of God. What we're telling people how to get to heaven, when a person comes forward and says, I want to get saved, and we take the Word of God, and we don't give them our opinion. We don't show them our church doctrine, our catechism. We don't say, okay, you got to get to the baptismal pool. I mean, we baptize people after they're saved, because why? It's commanded. It's commanded to baptize those that believe. But we don't take them in the room back here and show them some catechism. We show them the authority of the Word of God. That God said, if you call on him, he said that thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved by the authority of the Word of God. I mean, folks, God is extremist when it comes to his word. When God says something, you better believe it. Because one day this book is going to judge us. How you treat this book is going to judge you. How much Bible you read, what you could have done for the name of God. But what we got today in Christianity, the Bible set aside, is collecting dust. Nobody wants to know what God says. They're misquoting the Word of God. They're using some Hallmark card as the scripture, and it's not. Now, Hallmark probably got a lot of their thoughts from the Word of God, but back in the day. But today, man, when it comes to the Word of God, God is extreme about His book. And that's why we're King James Bible believers around here. People say, oh, y'all just brainwashed. You believe that Bible. You believe that Bible. I said, man, I tell you what, I believe the Bible from cover to cover, even to cover. Amen. I believe one day we're going to be judged by this book. Right. Are you extreme about it? I mean, do you care about it? I mean, do you care about what God said? When God says something, you believe it's going to be what is fact. It's fact. The authority of the Word of God. We ought to be extreme about the authority of the Word of God. The miracles that happened in the Bible. I've seen God do miracles. I've seen it. And the people say, you charismatic say, well, you don't believe in miracles. I've seen God do miracles. I know God's able to do miracles. I know it. And I'm not talking about some Benny Hinn on TV or some crazy idiot on TV trying to get everybody's money and slapping people down and they're flopping around on the floor like a bunch of fish. And it ain't like that, amen? They don't have to flop around. You don't find that in the Bible, amen? The religions teach that junk, trying to get your money. The teachings of the Bible. We're going through the doctrines of the Bible on Sunday morning, Sunday school, when the Bible talks about give yourself, give attendance to reading, to correction, to doctrine, those things. And we ought to be studying the Word of God. We ought to be extreme about taking God and praying, saying, Lord, show me something. You know, the Bible says the Holy Ghost will teach you and guide you in all things. If you'll pray and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your direction in my life. Most people don't ask God for guidance. They don't ask God for no direction. They just see money, and that's all they need is money. They get the green in their eyes, and they go crazy. And rather than finding what God said about it, what God wants in their life, what God wants to how to direct their family, they'd rather go after the money. You know, there's so many families that went after the money. The husband went after the money and destroyed the family over the just. So I got to make a living. Yeah, but have you asked God, is it worth the sacrifice? Is it worth the sacrifice to go after the money to have, and instead of training your children up in the Word of God, is it worth that? You young ladies plan on getting married, you better find a guy that loves God and loves that book. If he laughs at God and laughs at this book, your life is going to be hell on earth. And you're a fool to follow. You know what happens to a lot of young ladies? They'll marry up some idiot, and he won't believe the Bible, and he won't stand for the Word of God, and he's ashamed of Jesus Christ, and they'll marry him and think, we're going to change him. You ain't going to change him. And guess what? He's going to affect your children.
That's right.
You better you better pray. When God says something, you better believe it. Are you extreme about what God said?
Yeah.
Are you extremist about it? I'm telling you, man. I've seen this thing. You say, I'm too old to be fooled, man. I've seen the stuff going on through life. I've seen Christians and people thinking they know how to do it and they're going to handle it, and they mess up their life. God's an extremist. Amen. And we're not talking about, and God's extremist when he says, and God gives you he gives you a free will. He said, here's what I said. He puts it on the plate. He said, you can take it, eat it. You know, Isaiah, I think it was Isaiah or Jeremiah said, thy words are sweet. Or was it Jeremiah or Isaiah? One of them said, your words are sweet as honeycomb. I'm going to tell you something. You can eat from the Word of God. When God says something, you can believe it. And that problem is this day and age, this Christianity today, this laid out sin period, we take God and we do this. We say, God, I'll tell you what, get in there. And when I need you, I'll call you. When I want you to help me out, and when I need prayer, and when things are going bad, then I'll call you out of the box. But till then, shut up and stay in there. That's the way the world does. Isn't it something after 9/11, everybody was waving the flag, talking about God? And then after that, it's done. Look at Acts chapter 26. Look at verse 24. For as he hath thus spake for himself, Felix said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Paul was standing before King Agrippa and Festus. And folks, Lynn and I, the first place we went when we went to Jerusalem or went to Israel, Brother Glenn, we pulled up in this big parking lot. And Brother Glenn, there was nobody there. And Brother Glenn said, we better park down here because after a little bit, this parking lot's going to be full. And we got out. And we walked, I said, where are we at? He said, we're in Caesarea. I said, really? We're in Caesarea? I'm looking around. I don't see it. And he goes, well, you will. And we parked up near the entrance. And all of a sudden, man, we watch all these buses pull in. And we go through the gate, and we go down to Caesarea, and I forgot what was there. And we go in there, and this very incident right here is where Paul was. And he's standing in this big arena, and we walked into the arena. It's a big Colosseum. And King Agrippa is sitting on the platform with Festus, and Paul has got an audience of people around. They're all listening. And Paul gets up and starts preaching. And he had, you say, how many people could sit in that arena? I say, a couple thousand. I was in that arena. I went all the way to the top. I went all the way to the bottom. I went from one side to the other. I walked by. I was going through there, running through there, and Brother Glenn was just watching me. I was running back and forth, thinking, and looking down at where Paul probably stood. We went into the place where Linda, I got a picture of Linda and Miss Betty going up where they brought Paul through. And they brought him up a staircase. And he stood before King Agrippa. Paul was an extremist when it comes to believing the book. And that's why he was put on trial. But God told him, because all that you did, you were extremist. You were extremist before you were saved. And you went after Christians and killing them. And you went crazy after people. And now he says, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to go before kings. And he told him what he was going to have to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul never got married. Can you imagine Paul being married? Have his wife and kids standing there. Paul, please, be quiet, Paul. Don't go no further. Paul, don't say it. Please, Paul. They're going to kill you. And Paul stood up there and preached to them. And look what he says. He says, and he spake for himself, Festus, with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doeth make thee mad. Paul was an educated man. And all the people, I could see it in the arena. I could see them all laughing because Festus said that. Paul, he said, much learning made thee mad. You're crazy, Paul. And Paul knew Festus wouldn't listen, but he looked at King Agrippa. He said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things before whom I spake freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. And King Agrippa's sitting there. And his wife. And he's got all this audience of people. Man, we walked through there looking at that. I was going, my Lord. Down on the other side is where they had, where the gladiators came out. And the gladiators fought in that arena. And then they had where Ben-Hur, remember Ben-Hur, where they had the horses and the chariots and running around there? That was right there. Man, that was right there. Man, the palace was over there. Man, I'm sitting there looking at this. This is where the Apostle Paul. Wow. Man, he believed the word of God. And God kept his word. Then he says, for this thing was not done in a corner. He tells King Agrippa, he said, this thing wasn't done in a corner. The whole world's going to know about it. Guess what? The whole world knows. Then he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. And then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Right in front of thousands of people. Almost. Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all those that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I can see them leading Paul out afterwards. He gets on a ship because they had ships right there. He appealed to Caesar. Paul was an extremist. I'm going to tell you something. God's an extremist. How many of y'all believe there's a hell? Amen. You're extremists. How many of y'all believe there's a heaven? Yep. You're extremists. But if you really believe it, you'd be telling people not to go to hell. If you really believe the Bible that God will save whosoever will, you'd be more of an extremist than what you are. I'd be more of an extremist than what we are. Let me tell you something. The devil is an extremist. He's very extreme. He was in the garden when the sin entered into the garden. He was there. Why? What did he want to do? He wanted to ruin anything that has to do with God. Guess what he wants to do? He wants to ruin your life, your children, your grandchildren, your future children. He wants to ruin them. You better wake up. Why? Because, see, God changed his mind a couple times. He's an extremist, but God changed his mind about certain things because of choices people make. God can change his mind. My family was cursed before I was saved. And God, I was dead and on my way to hell. I got a brother that got killed, my other brother in prison. I got a half-brother laying over there dying right now. And we were extreme the way we lived. And I thought, man, I ought to be more extreme for God than I ever was for the devil. And so should you. I mean, man, I'm hearing Jack Hyle say this. He said, when you see people walk by you, you ought to think heaven or hell.
Right.
Heaven or hell. Man. The devil's extreme. His origin. I mean, man, he came. And you know the Bible call, you know what the Bible calls him? Take your Bible, look over in Job. Look in the book of Job. Devil, you know, the devil can't change his mind. He won't change his mind. He said, you think you're going to make friends with the devil? You know, you talk about, we was talking about Manson today. All these guys, they think the devil, they're going to go to hell and they're going to take over and all these guys getting 666 on their head and all that stuff. They think, oh, that's cool, baby. That's cool. We're going to go to hell and we're going to reign with the devil. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. The devil's going to, he's got his own show. And they ain't going to let nobody else in on the show. And the devil's going to ruin your life if he can. Kids, people, like I said, people being killed. You say, who does that? Who controls people to go in to synagogue and shoot people? Who controls people to go into school and kill little children? Who does that, man? Go to this workplace and kill people. I mean, just go crazy over it. And the Bible calls him, take your Bible, look in Job chapter 41. Look at verse 34. See, we all got the characteristics of the old man in us. Of the, you know, Jesus Christ told the Pharisees, he said, you're your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. We all got the characteristics of our old father in us. We all have it. So the more you get in this book, the more you pray, the more you spend time with God and witness for him, the more you start looking more like your heavenly father, your new father, rather than the old father. And the Bible says this in Job 41, look at verse 34. Behold, he beholdeth all high things. He is the king over all the children of pride. He's the king over all the children of pride. Can the devil change his mind? No. People say, well, can't the devil get saved? Nope. His mind is so warped that he thinks he's going to whip God and he's going to take all the people who want to follow him. Don't you know when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, the devil was sitting right there on his right side or his left side saying, hey, you think they want you? You think they want you? They want me. They don't want you, Jesus. They want me. And the devil's right there whispering in your ear, telling God's not fair. God's not good. God doesn't care. God doesn't want to help you. The devil's right there whispering. And the Bible says he's a king over all the children of pride. Who are the children? Children of pride. I'm telling you, man, the devil's extreme. He's extreme. And he's not going to change his mind on what he wants and what he wants to do to you, your wife, your children, your family, your church. He's not going to change his mind, not one iota. He's not going to change. You say, well, I'm going to pray that God would save the devil. Well, God, what a waste of time. The devil's bound for hell. His personality, The personality of Satan is pride, his personality. His influence over young people, older people. You see about these older men being arrested now for molesting children, these priests that are molesting kids. The devil thinks he's going to win. Take your Bible, look in Revelation 12. Look in Revelation 12. There's a battle that's going to take place. It's future. There's a battle going to take place. The devil thinks, oh, I'm going to whoop him. I'm going to beat him. I'm going to beat the Lord. He's an extremist. You know what? I remember Dr. Ruppman saying one time, he said, man, if I was the devil, knowing the Bible better than any man ever lived, he said, knowing the way I am, he said, knowing the outcome, what the Bible says is going to be the outcome, because the Bible says he's going to be put in chains, and then he's going to be cast in hell. People think the devil's in hell right now. No, he's not. He's on the earth. He's walking to and fro. Why do you think people said, man, things are getting worse? You know why? Because the devil knows his time is short. And guess what? This is nothing compared to what the Bible says is going to happen. This is nothing. So if you're an extremist and you believe that Bible, then you know what the Bible says is going to come. Are you witnessing to people? Are you telling people about Jesus Christ? Are your life letting your light so shine that's commanded by God, that your light so shine that men might see the good works of your Father? That they might want to come to the light? Or are they using you saying, well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want no part of that. That's the way Christians are. That's the way all of them are. I've worked with them. I've been around them. They're cussing just like anybody else. They're drinking just like anybody else. They're smoking dope just like anybody else. They're smoking. They're just doing everything everybody else is doing. You going to tell me they're better than me? No, they ain't. The devil will use that. There's a battle that takes place every day in your life. Every day in your life. And you've got to wake up and you got to go, am I going to, you know, Lord, help me to do right today. Help me to do right. Help me to live for you. Help me to get, first thing you ought to do in the morning is get up and read your Bible. So you know why? My wife would say to me, you haven't read your Bible today. I said, how do you know? She said, because you got an attitude. I get an attitude when I don't read my Bible. You all get an attitude? Revelation 12, there's going to be a battle taking place. And we know the outcome. We know what's going to happen. And look at Revelation 12. It says, and there was war in heaven, verse 7. Star Wars, we always hit that. Star Wars, that's where the Star Wars come from. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels. So the devil's got a third of the angels. Michael's got a third of the angels. Gabriel's got a third of the angels. When the devil fell, he took a third with him. So how do you know? It's in the Bible. It says, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So the devil right now, said, where is the devil? He's standing before God, and he's accusing you and I day and night. He's telling God, "There, you say they're your children? Look the way they're living. Look the way they're acting. They're calling me up. They're wanting me to help them out. They're living the way that they used to. You telling me they're your children?" And Jesus Christ is over here. The Bible calls him the intercessor. And he's interceding for him. He said, Father, I paid for their sin. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ. I paid for their sin. I washed them in the blood. And there's constantly accusations against you and I. But I said this one Wednesday night. Wouldn't it be great that the devil would be lying about you rather than telling the truth? Wouldn't it be great that when the devil stands up and says something about you and the Lord says, you know, that's a lie. But when it's true, what can he say? The devil's extremist. Are you? God's an extremist. Are you? Like I said, a real extremist. God's a real extremist. And he's given us children. He showed the love. And he wants you to go out and do the same. Jesus Christ, I said this about the lottery the other night. You think Jesus Christ would have had any problem being born a billion trillionaire? He could have been a trillionaire. He could have been sitting on the throne. He could have had all the money in the world. But guess what? He was born in a barn. Yep. And he never had no money on him. He couldn't even pay his own taxes. You know what he said? He said, hey, Peter, go out and catch a fish. And as soon as you pull the fish out of the ocean, it'd be a coin in his mouth. Pay our taxes. Yep. So nobody can use a testimony against us. He could have been trillionaire. And they've got Christians chasing after the green and saying they got these dreams. I just want to retire. I just want to take it easy. People dying and going to hell, folks. You can retire. You can take it easy, but are you witnessing while you're doing it? Are you telling people about Jesus Christ? The greatest business any Christian could be in is in business of God. There's a war going to take place. There's a war taking place now. God's extremist. Are you? The devil's extremist. He wants the damn souls to hell. We could go into Ezekiel 28. We can go through all that, his beginning and all that. I want to say this. Are you extremist about the effects of sin? You may remember something. You know what scared me about after I got saved? I didn't want my sins coming out on my children. Because the Bible says that God not hold him guiltless, that and one of the commandments is using his name in vain. I didn't want my sins to come out on my kids, even though it does, some. But I always pray for my children, God, don't let my past sins come out on my children. We got a day and age where parents and even older grandparents don't care. They don't care how they live, what they do. They don't care how it's going to affect their descendants. Where it used to be a day and age where people cared about the influence that they had on their children and on their grandchildren. Amen. And on their great-grandchildren. Used to be a day and age where grandma, grandpa used to tell them about Jesus Christ when they got with their children. Now, I'm not talking about doing this. I'm not talking about you better die. I'm talking about showing them the way they live. Amen. I mean, are you extremist about sin? Do you just take it lightly? I mean, when you sin, does it bother you? Does it get a hold of you? Do you say, oh, God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. I mean, why is 1 John 1:9 in the Bible if we don't use it? Yeah. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I wonder if we had some kind of a camera this morning, if we went around the room, how many people would be clean this morning? That you, before you came to church, you got in your Bible and you prayed, said, God, clean me. And you were clean. When you came into church, you could worship. Or maybe you get clean now. Are you extremist about it? I mean, do you confess your sins? We got this thing. Here's another thing put out by the devil. People going around saying, well, you don't have to confess your sins no more. Who do you think put that out? Who do you think put that out? You don't have to confess your sins. No, just stay dirty. Stay stinking before God. Because the Bible says our prayers are like sweet smelling savor come up before in the nostrils of God. But then if you're not confessing your sins and getting things right, then your prayers are not sweet smelling to God. They stink. You know what the priest had to do in the Ark of the Covenant? If the high priest went in there with the blood and he didn't have his heart right cleansed when he went in there and he didn't pray for the people and he went in there, he would drop dead. God was such an extreme, the guy would drop dead right there. And the Bible tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find grace and help in a time of need. Amen. When first time, when you come into God's throne, when you come in there, you ought to say, God, cleanse me. Amen. Wash me. Forgive me. That my prayers be not hindered. Most Christians today are not extreme about their effects of sin in their life. The effects that it's going to have on their children. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, now I'm going to be done. I know this is a rough message. Romans 6, 23 said, for the wages of sin is what? Death. We always use that for lost people, but really it's talking to Christians. It's talking to Christians. For the wages of sin is death. We ought to be working on sin in our own life. Now, God knows where you're at. He knows your growth. He knows everything about you. He knows your heart better than you know it. He knows whether you want to live right. He knows whether you want to do what's right. My wife and I, we got saved at 18. We got married at 19 because we wanted to do what's right. We didn't waste no time sleeping together, living together, because we did sleep together before we were saved. I mean, after we were saved. And we made up our mind, if we want God to bless our children, we want God to bless our home, we got to do what's right. You got to step in the right direction doing the right thing. Amen. And we wanted God's hand upon us. I still want God's hand upon us. Amen. I still want God's hand upon my children. I'm always checking up on my kids. Are y'all doing right? You know what Job did? He prayed for his children. He's had sacrifice for his children just in case. There's something wrong with a parent don't pray for their children and pray for their grandkids. I always pray, God, put the fear of God in them. Give them a tender heart. Said, you extreme about that. Yes, I am. I believe this book. I've seen this book come alive. I've seen this book. I mean, the very things that this book says come to pass. I've seen it come. Are you, all you got to do is look around and bus kids. Our families, we love these kids. These kids come in here and their families are not living for God and care less about God. We have bus kids getting saved and go back home and tell mom and daddy they need to get saved. And they'll stop the kids from coming to church because they don't want to hear it. We want to be extremists about salvation. Now, I'm not to the point of pushing and trying to get ripe fruit. We want to make sure the kids understand. Make sure a person understands they're sinners. They need to be saved. There's conviction in their life. Christian, if you have no conviction about anything in your life, Christians ought to have some convictions. You ought to have convictions in your life. So I'm not going to go to the bars no more. I'm not going to smoke them cigarettes no more. God helping me. I'm not going to do those things I used to do. You know what happens? Jesus told a man, he said, go sin no more lest something worse happen to you. And I've seen Christians go back to the same old mess and they couldn't be happy anymore and they destroy themselves. You think the devil wasn't behind that? Why? He's an extremist. The devil's extremist. You think he plays fair? No. Any possible way to destroy you, he will. I always say this, the devil can't get your soul, but he can get your wife, your children, your ministry, your church, your family, your children, grandchildren, everything, if you let him. Most Christians just take God lightly. He ain't going to do that. I'm his favorite. He's going to take care. He's going to let me slide by. He's going to let me slide. No. He laid down a law, even for his own children. Are you extreme about it? God's not a big kiss in heaven just waiting just to let you slide by. Now, he does let us slide to a point because you think about it, if we got what we really deserved, God have mercy. If we really got what we deserve, we all deserve to be in hell with our back broken, our eyes scratched out. If we really got what we deserve. But thank God his mercy. He's an extremist. The devil's an extremist. The word of God is extreme. People hate it. The world's extreme. They hate God. I said they showed a woman right in Times Square a picture making her look like Donald Trump. Got a Bible in her hand. She's got a Bible in her hand and got one that let's make America great again. And they got a big, big X on it. They made sure they put that Bible in there. The world's extreme. They don't want God. You say, do you hate them? Nope. The Bible says, Jesus said, love thine enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. And the Bible tells you that if you do good to people and you help people out, it's like heaping coals of fire on their head. And you just being a blessing. Why? Our main purpose is not to see them die and go to hell. When somebody disagrees with us, somebody don't like us, we don't sit there and say, God, send them to hell. That's what a lot of baby Christians would do. But an older Christian would say, God, save them. Please, Lord, help them. I worked over in Washington, D.C. with a guy. And I took his job, and they put him out on the roof. I was a mechanic and roofer and all that. And I had a shop there. I built it when I was there the first time. And I got back there, and they had naked pictures all over the walls, everywhere, in the shop, of women. So the first day on the job, I went in there. They weren't my pictures, but I went down. The owner said, Alan, that's yours. You're the superintendent. Do whatever you want. I went in it. I ripped them all down. And I took them all down. I tore them up, put them in the trash can. That guy come back that afternoon. He come in the shop. Who took my pictures down? I said, I did. And he acted like he wanted to fight. He said, you ain't got no right. You can't. I said, I have every right. This is my shop. And I said, this is my shop here. No. He says, you had no right tearing up my pictures. I said, no, I didn't. I didn't have no right. It was your pictures. But I didn't want them around. I just tore them up. And I said, I'm sorry. Forgive me. He goes, I said, look, man. Look, I'm sorry. Forgive me. All right? And he goes, I'll whoop you. I said, man. I said, look, it'd be bad. We have all these roofers here. And for a preacher to whip your butt in front of all of them, be bad, wouldn't it? He ran in the office and told the boss, the owner. And I went in behind him. And the boss said, Allen's, he's the superintendent. Whatever he says goes. My boss, I witnessed to him, he hated that I wore Christian shirts. I had scripture shirts. He called me in the office one day. He said, I don't like them shirts. I said, they offend you? This is before I was there the first time. I said, they offend you? He goes, no, they don't offend me. I'm a Catholic. They don't offend me. I said, oh, yeah. And so I said, he goes, I just you dealing with the public, and you shouldn't probably have those things on. I said, look, when a guy just walked by, had a Miller Lite shirt on. I said, when you stop everybody from wearing those shirts, then I'll quit. And I said, deal? And he said, deal. I said, okay. He couldn't stop him. The world's extreme, brother. I just come right back at him. Are you extreme about your sin? When was the last time you asked God to forgive you? If the Lord brings something to your mind, when was the last time you said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for losing my getting angry, but the Bible says, be ye angry, but sin not. Right. Don't let it come out of your mouth. You say, is that a sin? Yeah. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. There's some things we need to ask God to forgive us. When was the last time you asked God to forgive you? Why? God's extremist. God doesn't forget. We do. He doesn't. You know why I want to keep my account clean? Because I don't want to face it at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want to face it in works. I don't want the Lord to say, you never did get clean about those things. And here at the judgment seat of Christ, you lost rewards because of it. You say, is that in the Bible? The Bible says, look to yourself that you have a full reward. You don't want to lose rewards, you better get clean. And let me tell you something else. There's going to be reaping process. You better be extreme about sin in your life, the people you hang around with, the things you do. You better be extreme about it. You want to see your friends come to know Jesus Christ. A lot of people, they're like, they'll change. Whoever they're with is what they act. When you know me, I've been here 31 years. And you know I'm the same in the pulpit as I'm out there on the street, at my house, anywhere I go, working, I'm the same. And that's what your Christian ought to be, living for God. Are you real? Are you extreme about it? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for your mercy. My Father, help us not to be like chameleons, Lord, to change anytime we get around certain people. And Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to keep our account up to date, Lord, with you. And my Father, help us to hate sin in our own life. We always hate sin in everybody else's life. We always mad at somebody else because they did something. But God, we don't look at ourselves that way. Help us to hate sin in our life. When we start hating sin in our own life, it'll keep us from sin. My Father, I pray, God, help us, Lord, today. Help my brothers and sisters. Help our church, Lord.